And I'll just say this, man, it fills my heart to see people step up and serve God. I was talking with somebody before this service that's now serving in one of the ministries on Sunday mornings and stuff. I mean, it just fills my heart. It's awesome to see people that aren't afraid to step up and get out of their comfort zone and follow whatever God's leading them to do. We're going to be talking about that quite a bit this morning, actually. So if you've got a Bible, go ahead and get it out. If you don't have a Bible, fear not. We have Bibles. Our ushers have Bibles. They will bring you a Bible. Let them bring you a Bible. In fact, raise your hand if you need one, if you left it at home or you don't own one. If you don't own one, you can have that one. We want to give it to you. It is a gift. Just get a Bible so you can follow along with us. We're going to Ephesians chapter 4 today, where we've been studying for a few months on and off throughout this passage of Scripture in different ways, and we're looking at it again today. Let me even say this before we even get so far into this. Couple things. We had two of our kids come to know the Lord at camp this week, at our kids' camp. Isn't that awesome? That's good stuff. And let me say this. Let that be a reminder that when you go pick up your kids or you're talking with some of our kids' workers or whatever, give them a hug. Say thank you to them. Let them know how much you appreciate what they're doing. I mean, their whole goal is to spend time with our kids that our kids would understand the gospel. That's their whole goal. And in getting to see a couple of our kids come to know the Lord in the last few days, that's just proof of what they're doing is working, and that's awesome. Say thank you to them. Say thank you to Dave. Say thank you to the room leaders or teachers or, you know, whoever's back in there. You know, there's so many jobs going on even back there. That it's not teaching, that's other things, and maybe God wants to use you in some of that, be praying about that. But anyway, say thank you to them if you get a chance. So we had that going on. This week we've got, we have a camp called Super Summer. And Super Summer is a leadership camp for students, for teenagers. And this is the craziest thing to me when I really get to thinking about Super Summer, because Super Summer to me is more than just something that our church does. Super Summer is actually something that I was blessed and just privileged and just happened to be. I mean, it was just a total God thing. It was just kind of, I guess, at the right place at the right time. I actually helped start this camp like 16 years ago or something stupid. And I was young and an idiot. And I mean, just, it's ridiculous that I was ever a part of that to begin with and have maintained being able to stay a part of that all these years. And basically, it's a camp for students that feel God pushing on them to do more, to be more. And a little bit different than the Crossings, but still crazy on, 10,000 different levels, both being silly and, it's just an amazing, amazing thing. That takes place up at Austin Peay. And so we'll be at Austin Peay all week. Penny is already there. He's there helping prepare leaders that will be receiving kids. We'll be receiving the kids tomorrow. I'm going up this afternoon because I need to do this today. And so just keep us in your prayers if you don't mind. Keep our kids. We got several students coming to Super Summer this week. Keep them in your prayers. Keep Penny in your prayers. He's doing what's called deaning a school, which is meaning that he is over one of the grades. We basically break down the grades into different deals, and he's doing ninth grade, which is known as blue school. I usually do a thing called black school, which is for kids that feel called to ministry, but I have to have a team to do that, and my usual team could not do it this year, so I'll be meeting one-on-one this week with students who are possibly feeling called to ministry. God's working on their heart maybe to be a pastor, a missionary, whatever it may be. So just keep us in your prayers this week. It's such an awesome, awesome, humbling opportunity to get to be a part of. So that's going on. If you want to worship with us, you can come worship with us one night. Just give us a yell and let us know that you're coming, and we'll tell you what time it is. I want to say that worship starts at 8:30. So in the evening, okay, not in the morning, there's actually in the schools, they meet in schools all day, and there's actually three worship services in the schools during the day, two in the morning, one in the evening. We do rec in the afternoon, where we act stupid and crazy. But anyway, evening worship, I believe, is at 8:30. If you want to come, I don't even know who our camp pastor is this year. I've been so out of the loop. with stuff going on here. Anyway, if you want to join us, give us a call. You can come up to Austin Peay and hang out with us. We'd love for you to worship with us. I know some of you go to bed at 8:30, so I'm sorry about that. If you want to come hang out with us, we'd love for you to do that. We'll go to Johnny's and have a hamburger afterwards. This message today, man, there's a lot of stuff. I'm just reeling honestly from doing this the first service, where I'm praying that God will say everything that through me that I know He wants to say, and I felt like that happened in the first service, and this is some pretty awesome stuff. I know for a lot of us, we've been talking about Building One. If you don't know what Building One is, this is our kind of our campaign deal that we've kind of adopted for us to move forward as a church. One of the things that we've set back and said is we've got some obstacles. We've got to overcome these obstacles for 24 Church to continue to grow, to continue to move forward, to continue to reach people, to continue to be good at ministry. We've been talking about these things. And some of those things, very simply put, some of those things are like workspace for staff, for pastors that are working, doing day-to-day ministry and that kind of stuff. We need some of that kind of stuff. I say we got workspace, but then also we got play space. So we're looking at what's called our ministry center, and we're also looking at putting a pavilion out in the front yard. And the pavilion will be something that we can use, but that the community can use. And we don't have plans on that right now because we're kind of dangling that like the carrot to go ahead and get this one done. And then we'll move on to that. But it basically just be a metal pavilion kind of thing. But part of that will be a storage area that could hopefully be a future kitchen. Part of that would also be a playground that would be under roof. So if a mama wanted to go out there during the week and sit down and have a sandwich while her kid plays on the playground in the rain, it won't matter because it'll be under roof. Just stuff like that. So we're looking at all these things together. And you've seen plans, and if you want more information about that, we can answer questions before or after any of that we can. We've been talking about that, just kind of saying that for anybody that's just kind of joining in the conversation right now. We want you to know what's going on and to see what's up. This morning, I want us to look at this passage of Scripture out of Ephesians 4. And the Building One concept is this understanding that God wants to build up His church. And when I say build up His church, I'm not talking about with bricks and mortar. I'm not talking about with steel and wood. I'm talking about building up the body of believers, and that's us, that's you and me. That God wants to use us to do great things for His kingdom. If you didn't know, we are the body, and God has called us for a purpose to bring Him glory. In other words, that people would know who He is because they know us. And there's this picture in Scripture, and we're going to see bits and pieces of that today. There's this picture in Scripture that we see this building up of the body for God's glory, for His kingdom to do His work. And when God takes all of these crazy components and puts them together and makes the body, and when it functions properly, it can do amazing things in this world. It can be a light like nothing else. I mean, case in point, I mean, you got a body, all right? I'm going to guess you got a body. And you know that like when a part of your body is hurting, I mean, it just, you know, one part of your body hurting can put a man down. Women, am I not telling the truth? If your man got like one part of the body, he's like, he's worthless, right? That's most of us for dudes, right? I mean, most of us, you know. Except for like if it's like we halfway cut our finger off and we're just like, we'll just duct tape that thing and keep going, okay? But, the same goes for the body of Christ. The same goes for the body of believers. That when there is a piece of the body that is not functioning as God has created it to, the body as a whole suffers. It hurts. And we don't realize that. There's so much to why God has called us to be a part of a church. And we go, well, I can go have church by myself. Well, okay, no, you can't, actually. You can't have church by yourself. You can go spend time with Jesus by yourself, but you can't have church by yourself. Because the church is the body, and the body is the believers. And we see all through Scripture this picture of what it looks like for the body to work together. And so this morning, I want to read part of this passage, we see this building one, that it's talking about, building up of one body, this one body of believers that God wants to use this body of believers to do great things for his kingdom, to make him known, to be light. I want to be light. I want this church to be light. We started this church that it would be light. We started this church that it would teach the gospel. We started this church that we would love God, that we would love people, that we would live the gospel, and that we would make disciples. I want to do that. I don't want us to stop doing that. I don't want us to get to a point where we're like, well, we built a thing, and we got so many people running now on Sunday mornings, and we were doing this thing, and we got the serve Sunday thing, and the thing, and now we can all sit on our hands. That's not what God's called us to do. There are so many people that need Jesus. We, as parts of a functioning body, have got to be faithful to our calling so that this body as a whole can continue to reach people for Jesus. I have this, I have this way of seeing this, I guess you could say. That I believe that if a church is not functioning fully as the body that it's called to function as, in other words, if there's too many folks that are basically sitting on their hands and saying, you know, I'm just gonna come and feed and just, you know, I'm not really gonna be a part or any of that kind of stuff. I'm just gonna what? Here's what I believe. I believe, and I think that I can base it biblically 100% all the day long, that God is not going to use that church to do what he's called it to do. In other words, he's not going to send us people that need Jesus if we're not ready to receive them. He's not going to send us tons of families that have tons of kids that need to be ministered to and hear the gospel if we don't have the people back there to minister to them. It's not going to happen. Because he sees a bigger picture and he doesn't want those people getting hurt in the crossfire of us not being ready and responsible enough to do the ministry that we've been called to do. God wants to use us for his kingdom. Let's look at this passage, Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 11, it says this. It says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up, there it is, building up the body of Christ. So, we'll stop right there for just a second. We see this picture right here, very beginning, which is cool because I'm going to be talking about this with students all week long at camp that are struggling with whether or not they might be called to ministry, and they're, you know, struggling through all that. And Lord knows, I remember when I was 16 years old and I felt like God was calling me to ministry, and I didn't want to tell anybody, and then I finally told people, and then, like, you know, then there's like this overarching, like, oh, he's called to ministry, and, you know, man, I ran from that after I let everybody know about it. My dad's a pastor. I was like, I don't want to be my dad when I grow up and all this kind of stuff, you know, because I'm 16 years old, and, I wanted to either be a rock star or a baseball player or something. I mean, you know, I was thinking about 10 dozen different other things. You know, in the midst of all that, I look back on it, silly, my dad's amazing. And I look back on it, and what we see in this passage of Scripture, which is so very true, is that God does appoint people, and he wants people to do things. He appoints people, and specifically, we see those particular things. We see apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers, and there's a purpose for them. They have a calling, and the calling is right there with it, right after teachers, right after the word teachers. It says, this is verse 11, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. To equip the saints for the work of ministry. To equip the saints for the work of ministry. Why did I say it three times? Because I really want you to hear it. You've heard me say this before. You've heard me say this statement. If you know Jesus, if he's your Savior, if you've been bought with the blood from the cross, then you are a minister of the gospel. But so many people that are Christians today, they don't want to hear that. They want to go, no. Pastors are ministers of the gospel. Elders, deacons, those are people that are supposed to be ministers of the gospel. No. Those people are to equip the saints for the work of ministry. We together are ministers of the gospel. That's on all of us. And you know, if you look at it, it's like, man, it's like this heavy burden thing. Man, don't. You're looking at it the wrong way. And it's like one of the most amazing things that we get to be a part of the work of God, that we would free ourselves, that we would allow Jesus to free us to see through the muck and the junk of this world, to see the opportunities when they come along for us to minister to others. And it's so simply put. It's so simple that we make it hard. We make it, well, you know, I don't know if I could lead a Bible study. Forget leading a Bible study. Did you know that you're called to be where you are? My calling as a pastor is not greater than your calling as a fill in the blank, carpenter, mom, dad, friend, brother, sister, son, daughter. God wants to use you right where you are. Remember that. Be faithful with that. And be encouraged with this. Be encouraged that he puts you there for a purpose. There's a reason why God doesn't call everybody to be a pastor. What would that look like? That would be crazy and dumb. You know? Have you met most pastors? They're ridiculous. God calls us each to do different things. It's just that my calling is to try to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Did you know that you're a saint? You didn't think so. Some of you need to go tell your mama today. You know, call her up, tell your dad, say, Happy Father's Day. Hey, Dad, by the way, I'm a saint. Yeah. See what he says to that. And why? Why? It's answering its own question as you walk through this verse here. He appoints all these people to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And here's the why. For building up the body of Christ. He wants to build one body. His church, his bride. Did you know that the church is the bride of Jesus Christ? And he wants us to care for her. He wants us to love her and to cherish her. And I know that somewhere along the way you've been burned by a church. Maybe you've been burned by this church. Guess what? Full of sinners. Every one of them I've found, full of sinners. You're going to get burned because it's full of sinners. Find a pastor that's not a sinner. I'll call him a liar. Okay? And I'll use scripture to do so. I'll do it with love, you know, but I'll call him a liar, you know? And because here's the truth of it. We're going to let each other down. That's a part of it. God showed us grace, and in turn, he's called us to show one another grace. Verse 13. Until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now this is flowing out. You got to remember, this is flowing out of God calling these people, these, let's just say ministers for right now, God calling these ministers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body, until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And it keeps going, verse 14, so that we may no longer be children. So that we may no longer be children. This is talking about us growing up. This is talking to us turning into big boys and girls. And I, you know, there's people I know that are in their 30s that aren't big boys and girls. You know, they're like, you know, they're just still, what, it's like Billy Madison or something. You know, shiny. So, you know, sorry. I'm already going into camp mode, and I do a lot of Adam Sandler at camp. But you know, just to see this picture and to see what he's talking about is that we would seek this, that we would strive to attain this, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And in verse 14, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves carried about the wind, every wind of doctrine by human cunning, by craftiness, and deceitful schemes. In other words, it's saying this, that we wouldn't buy into false doctrine, that we would see through the lies, and that we would see truth, even in this muck of a world that we've got, that we live in. Verse 15, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. There's Christ, head of the church. He's the senior pastor. I am not. I'm just a dude doing what I'm called to do, just like you. From whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. So again, we've talked about this in weeks past, but there's this, Paul's being really clear with something here I think is really important for us to see. And that's that Christ holds us together as the joints. I said this earlier. Have you seen the people that make up 24 Church? I mean, have you seen these people? I mean, there is utter ridiculousness between the people that make up 24 Church. I don't know if you've noticed. There is no reason that all of these people would ever get together. None. But what Paul is saying here and helping us to see, from whom the whole body is joined together and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. He's talking about Jesus. Jesus brings us together to do this work, to even overcome differences. Did you know that you can go to church with people that don't have the same opinions as you? Isn't that amazing? Now, there's the cornerstones of our faith, that Jesus is the way, and you know, all that. I mean, we get in all that stuff, you know. But, I mean, did you know that we might have both Republicans and Democrats and then all the other people that don't even know what they are anymore, which I think I'm right there, you know. And it doesn't matter. We can agree to disagree because we are held together by Christ for His glory and for His kingdom. And here comes Black Hawk down. That's nice, isn't it? It's just a little Father's Day flyover right there for you. We set that up. That's part of the service today. All right. Verse 16 goes on. He says this. It says, when each part, here you go, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. I don't know if you noticed the banners that we had up here for a while, and they're out there in the foyer right now. They started with unite, which we've already seen in this passage. If you missed this and you hadn't heard us say this, we took all those things from this passage, okay? This and the verses before it in chapter 4 of Ephesians 4. We start with unite. We have to unite together. Then what? Equip. God wants to equip us. Why? We just read it. To do the work of the ministry. So we are equipped together. Then He uses that to build us up. And I know it's real tempting to make building one about buildings, but it's really not about buildings. It's really about God wanting to build up His church to use us for His glory. So He's going to build us. And then so that, what's it say in that verse? That each part is working properly, talking about us all being faithful together to be the church who we've been called to be as individuals, and together, held together by Christ at every joint, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love, which is the last one. We've been called to love. We've been called to be God's love in this place. I say place, I'm not talking about building, okay? Get out of building. Talking about our community, our workplace. I mean, yeah, this is part of that. This is part of that. We gather on Sunday mornings. We have an awesome opportunity. I don't know if you realize it or not. We have an amazing opportunity. I would say as good, if not better, than probably any other fellowship around us to get to reach new people. New people come in these doors every week. I know people that go to churches that say, I wish new people would come to our church. We don't have that problem. The problem we have is making sure that we are faithful with what God is giving us in loving those people that God brings. All right. So how do we invest in the future of ministry here? Because I don't want to sit on my hands. I don't want to get to that point where it's like, oh, we finally made it to X, Y, and Z, and now we can sit on our hands. That's not what God's called us to do, and we know it. So how do we invest to see ministry continue to grow here at 24 Church? How do we do that? How do we invest? We talked about, you know, some of the hurdles that we've got, you know, to have place to work and, you know, so that those people that are called, remember the people at the very beginning of that passage, are able to continue to equip others, the saints, for the work of ministry. We need that. We need it. We really do. It is, and I've, you know, I kid around about it, but man, it's tough sometimes. Try counseling somebody on the couch and then other people come walking in. Try studying, you know, when you're using like 10 books, literally sometimes I use 10 books while I'm studying for, a message or something, and I'm hauling that stuff back and forth. You ought to see some of my books and the way they look, and I'm not complaining. I'm just saying it's tough sometimes. We want to create an environment that helps our staff, our pastors, be able to continue to grow themselves in Christ, not get burned out by not having workspace and some of that kind of stuff. It's just simple stuff. You guys know it. So how do we invest? Well, God has invested in us. How did he invest in us? Sunday school answer time. Go. Jesus. Come on. Right? God invested Jesus. He invested Jesus despite the fact that we're still sinners. God said, you know what? They're still sinners, but I still love them. I'm going to send my son to die for them. He sacrificed for us. He sacrificed for us. So what we have to do is in turn, we've got to look at it and go, how can we invest? How can we invest in the kingdom of God? How can we invest in something that's eternal, okay? Our ushers have these little books right here that we're going to give out today. See these little things? And they fold out, got little things in them and all this. All right, we're gonna pass those out. I want every family to get at least one. If you need one, need more than one for some reason, go ahead and get it. That's fine. Go ahead. You guys go ahead and come on with these things. But I want everybody to be able to get these things. Huge thanks to Trio Signs, Matt Bowling. Nathan spent untold amounts of time working on this because he's Mr. Wordsmith. We want you to be able to have this. This is something that we've got for you guys to hopefully be able to know completely 100% what the plan is for us to move forward on this stuff. This is where, if you're visiting with us today, you're kind of like, wow, we're all of a sudden doing something else. It's kind of crazy. But we're excited for you to even know, what God is doing here and to hear about this kind of stuff. I know the temptation is to open that thing up and go, I'm going to read every bit of this. You could read everything and just ignore me, I guess. But what I'd like for you to do is I'd like for you to pull out the card that says the opportunity. And you can read through the rest of that stuff here later on. And we've talked through a lot of it already. But maybe you've missed a week that we haven't. So another reason why we want everybody to be well educated on kind of what the plan is. This is the plan, okay? This is the master plan for us moving forward to follow through with what God is calling us to do as a church. And this particular thing, you see the opportunity. And I've been talking about investment. And I don't know about you, but I love the potential of a good investment. A good investment does what? It reaps benefits. Typically speaking, when we're talking about investments, we're talking about money. So we're talking about, for me, I'm like, well, I see this thing on Craigslist and I'm like, well, if I can buy it for $100 and sell it for $1,000, that's a win-win. I love those, and that happens from time to time. And that's a great thing, for us, I think for us to see investment beyond just money and to see it for the kingdom, see it for something eternal. Eternal investment is so much bigger than what we're used to because eternal investment goes beyond anything that we're normally used to thinking about because it's something that can outlast us. You know what I'm saying? There are several ways that we can invest together. And I want you to look at these with me this morning. But I want to start with this one, and it's under Unite right there. You've got four phases of giving, if you will, there. Four ways of giving, four ways of investing, if you will. Unite right there. The first one is that you would pray. And we talked about this last week for a little bit, and we even had our little wood slivers. I've got one here, and we've got them all up here in the front. If you didn't get one of these, you can come get one today. The only thing that we ask is if you come get one of these before the day's over with, or next week, or whenever you pick one up, is that you would commit to pray for what God is doing through this. You would commit to pray for this church. You would commit to pray that God would lead you personally and how he's leading you to be a part of 24 Church as a body, as far as how he's wanting you to minister day to day and be the church scattered out there during your work week and all that. But also that you'd be willing to pray that God would provide for this stuff to happen, the building stuff to happen. Here's the deal. It's his plan. God's put this on our hearts that this is what he's leading us to do. And sometimes when doors open, you just know you're supposed to walk through, it just happens. And that's exactly what's been happening. And next weekend even, I'm going to have somebody here sharing that's going to even talk to that. And we're going to see even more of a bigger picture of a story of how God has been working in somebody else's life to even be a part of this at this point in time. I mean, it's just crazy. I can't even get into it. Just don't miss next week. But if you get one of these, just pray. Pray. And everybody can do this. Anybody can do this. Anybody can pray. Pray for the funds. Pray for the building of this body. The second thing is equip. And here's where we're going to talk about money for a little bit. What we're going to ask you to do is, again, pray. We're asking that you would pray about what God would want you to do. Here's what we're not going to do. Here's what I'm not going to do. I'm not the guy on TV that's like, put your hand on the screen and get your wallet out and get your credit card ready. You know, that's not me. I'm not that guy, okay? And the reason I'm not that guy is because that's not biblical. Here's what I'm not going to do. We're not going to guilt you. We're not going to say, hey, if you don't give this, then you're a terrible Christian. Jesus doesn't love you today. You know, those are all lies. And there's plenty of false gospels, especially when it comes to money. And if you read a passage that we're going to read in here in just a minute, if you read right before that, it even talks about people saying that, you know, if you would give so that you would give some kind of, so you would get some kind of return. That is a wrong attitude toward giving. Yes, blessings will be in store, but they're probably going to be heavenly. It's not one of those deals where, like, if you'll give $100 a week, then you'll be a millionaire by the end of, you know, 2018. I mean, it doesn't work that way. Number one, mostly because we don't need that money. One of the reasons that Jesus talks about money almost, maybe more than he talks about anything, was because he was so worried about us that we would miss, that we make that an idol. We love money, and he knew that we would love money, and he knew that we would chase it, and that we would work ourselves to death for it, and that we would do anything almost to get money. And Jesus talks about money all the time through Scripture. All the time. And the reason being is because he's worried about our hearts. It's not because he needs it. One of the things that he wants us to understand about money and even possessions is that he's the owner. He's the owner and we're just managers. It's all his. I've done a lot of funerals. I've yet to see anybody pulling a U-Haul behind a hearse. It just doesn't work. We can't take it with us. It's all his anyway. He gives, he takes away, he blesses. At times in our life, we aren't as blessed. Here's what we're going to ask you to do. We want to ask you to pray about giving above your normal giving, okay? And I know for starters, I know that some folks are probably sitting here and going, you know what, I don't give already. You know what, this may be a time in your life where you actually get serious with the Lord about the things that He's allowing you to manage and say, okay, God, what do you want me to do here? And you may be sitting here today, you may be going, you know, we don't have any money. We're broke. Well, I'm going to encourage you to do something. I'm still going to encourage you to pray about giving. And you may not be able to give very much, but there's an attachment. If we're not careful, there's an attachment that we make all this about you know, what we can or can't do, and we take God completely out of the equation. I want to encourage you to just pray about it. Just think about it. What we're hoping to do is, and we've studied a bunch of these capital campaign things and all that, and you can hire these companies to come into your church, and you pay them all this money. I've got a friend of mine that they hired this company to come into their church, and they paid them like $20,000, okay, to basically tell them how to give. We looked at that and we said, no dice, not at 24 Church. We're not feeling it. And I know that they work well and seem to be, you know, but we just said, you know what? Why don't we trust the Lord? Most of these things they say do in 3 years. We said, you know what? God's leading us to do it. Let's do it in 18 months. We said, we already struggle as a church financially, which is a big deal. And it makes it a big deal, even to the point of like some of you will be tempted to go, you know, I think I'm just going to take my giving and start putting it toward building one. Let me encourage you to not do that. Let me encourage you to keep giving whatever it is that God's leading you to give. And let me encourage you to think about, what is God leading you to sacrifice? The sacrifice could be the thing that goes to building one. This is something, by the way, that my family and I, we're going to be praying about over the next 2 weeks. What is it that God's leading us to give? What is it that God's leading us to do? Because I want you to know something. We, the staff, the pastors of this church, we're not going to ask you to be a part of doing something that we're not personally being a part of too. That is very important. So what we're going to do is we're asking you to pray about giving something extra toward this deal for 18 months. For 18 months, we're going to try to raise money, and I think that we're probably going to be shocked. I think we're going to be shocked at what God may do through this. And it may be regularly over 18 months. You may, you know, like with my family, we get paid, you know, twice a month, and so we give every time that we're paid. I'm very much a believer in what it calls, you know, through Scripture, we see the first fruits, where we give, my family, we give off the top. And we give online because we give off the top, because we pay everything else online. And it would almost be impossible for us to give first, you know, by giving on Sunday mornings. And it's fine, you give either way. I'm not saying, it's not a judgmental statement or anything. It's just what we've been led to do. And so we give online. We've got the online giving here at church and all that kind of stuff. And so we give first to that, and then we pay our bills. And some of you, that probably scares you to death to think about it. And let me say this to that. God is faithful. We're going to read a scripture here in just a second that is a reminder of how faithful God is. But let me tell you, in our personal life, and please do not take this as me like showboating, any of that. I don't care. This is a look at what God has done thing. For the first 5 years of 24 Church, we supported our family on $33,000 a year. And I'm thankful that we had that $33,000 a year. That's actually about half of what I made as a youth pastor at the last church that I worked at. You know, but God provided. God provided. And there were times that we go, you know, we don't have the money to pay the bills. The thing went out, or the thing quit, or we got to replace the deal, you know, and then it's like, what are we going to do? God led us to be faithful, and I'm thankful that He did. Because He led us to be faithful and to not waver from that, we got to see God do an amazing work in providing for our family. Did we get new cars? No. Did we get rich? No. Do we need new cars and do we need to be rich? No. This is a trust issue between you and the Lord. And please, please hear me when I say this. Please hear me when I say this. I promise you, the last thing I want you to feel when you leave here today is guilt. I do not want you to feel guilty in doing something. In fact, we're going to read scripture that tells you not to give if that's what it's about. That is not the point. That is not the purpose. This is about us slaying dragons in our own life that are keeping us from being in communion with God. Jesus knew that this would be an idol for us. He knew that money would be something that would get us so much so that we'll base decisions in our lives about it that we know our sin. Don't fall into that. Don't fall prey to that. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Whatever He's leading you to do, trust Him. So what we're going to do, starting in July, we're kind of pulling the trigger kind of fast on this because honestly, I feel like we've been dragging our feet, you know, trying to get some stuff together to kind of get going on this deal. And so we got 2 weeks to kind of pray, kind of be led. It doesn't mean that you can't continue to pray. God may change your heart about what you need to give on down the line or something, and that's okay. But what we're going to do, we're going to take a couple of weeks and encourage everybody to pray. Seek the Lord. I'm not giving out percentages. I'm not saying, hey, you should give X amount of your paycheck. I mean, people will ask. I know people, you're probably sitting, some of you are sitting there going, what about a tithe? Well, I mean, that's fine. If that's what God leads you to do is to tithe to your church, that's fine. And by the way, if you don't go to church here, I'm encouraging you to be faithful at the church that you do go to. This isn't about 24 Church, okay? It's not about that. It's about the kingdom. If tithing is your thing, doing the 10% thing is your thing, then great. Go for it. Maybe God wants you to do something extra. If you're already doing that, maybe God wants you to do something extra for the Building One deal. But I want you to hear what I'm saying today is that I'm encouraging you that over the next couple of weeks that you would seek the Lord about what He's leading you to do. Not anybody pressuring you to do X, Y, or Z. Here's our goal. In 2 weeks, we're hoping that folks can bring back the little commitment card thing. And here's the deal, just so you know, so we're real clear. If you make a commitment on the commitment card thing, it doesn't mean if you don't pay up that month, we're going to come to your house, okay? That's not the way this works. That is just for us. That is just for us to try to gauge like what we're looking at. In fact, here's what we're going to do to try to help us. We're going to actually map out, paint on the ground outside where the ministry center is going to be. And as we get commitments for a certain dollar amount, we're going to paint on the ground what's been committed to be paid for. Very simple. And then we're hoping to eventually go back, and as the money starts to come in, we'll continue to paint in blocks. And so you see that little thing, it says by the foot there. The whole by the foot, in fact, it's on the back, but it's at the bottom or whatever. But the by the foot thing is the idea that, like, if you want to tangibly think about this way, then you could literally buy a square foot. $100 a foot builds it, buy a square foot. We get through this thing and we paint the whole thing up. You know, we know we're going to be good to go. But here's the deal. Because we want to be responsible as a church, and because we want to do what we think is the right thing to do, we're not going out there and breaking ground and pulling out the golden shovels next week, okay? You've seen all the golden shovels, right? You've been to the churches with the golden shovels that are hanging on the wall, and they got like plaques and stuff. We probably won't have any golden shovels, but whatever. You know, but yeah, we're not going to do that next week. Here's why. We've decided we're not breaking ground until we've raised half of the money. So the overall project that we're talking about for both buildings is $250,000. Well, that's a lot of money. So in essence, what we got to do is we've got to raise $125,000 before we break ground. So about the time that we're probably getting pooped from giving and not seeing anything happen, when we get to this $125,000, then we'll break ground and we'll have a little bit of excitement again and go, oh, cool, we're starting on it now. And I think at that point, what we're going to see is we're going to see that thing really starts to come together fast. And then we'll be able to go out here in the front yard and we'll be able to do the pavilion. 2 weeks, pray. Think about a commitment. It's just for us to try to gauge where we are. It's not for us to like hold you to something. God may lead you to give less. He may lead you to give more 3 or 4 months from now. You may move. You may go, man, we moved. You know, I don't know. I mean, God may still lead you to give in some way, even if that happened. But, you know, we want you to understand. This is just to try to help us, okay? It's just to try to help us, and it's just to try to help you too. If you go down, back on the thing with the opportunity, ways that we can give, ways that we can invest, build. In blue right there, build. Donating building materials for the construction. And we've got everything, and you can read, so I'm not going to say every one of those things, but all the building materials. But we also have to furnish the building, too. We're going to get to a point where we get into the pavilion, we're going to be raising money on pieces of playground equipment. You know? That's exciting. Tables, picnic tables, or whatever it is that we're putting out there. All things to think about. God may use you to, maybe you got the hookup on drywall or whatever, you know. And I know that some of you are going to want to like donate that stuff tomorrow, and we can't take it yet. Yeah, I think you understand why. We just can't take it yet, but we will. So maybe you can be collecting stuff even between now and then that you know that we're going to need. And we'll have some meetings about the types of stuff that we're going to be needing so that we make sure that we've got the right stuff too, because we got to do it by codes. The last thing there is love and ways that we can give, ways that we can invest in this thing other than giving money is maybe you go home and maybe you go, you know what? God's given us a lot of stuff. Maybe there's something that we need to give back to Him. Maybe there's something we need to bring. Maybe it's something that means a lot to you. You go, Chris, why would we do that with something that means a lot? Well, I'm just thinking about like the sacrifice piece. It's real easy for us to go home and go, hey, what do we not need? You know? What do we not need? I mean, that's real easy to do. I think that this is a heart issue for us. And again, it's just between you and the Lord. I'm just encouraging you to seek the Lord on this stuff. Seek the Lord and what He may lead you to do. You might be surprised. And if you come up with some kind of material item, one of the things that we've talked about doing is we've already been talking with Stephen Carr about putting on an auction. So we'll have an auction, publicize it. We'll have all this stuff that people bring, that people love, cherished, and we'll sell it. And whatever is raised will go toward the deal. Or it may be something that you need to be the one to sell it because you know what it's worth and you need to make sure that you get top dollar or whatever, and then you just turn around and give that money. Another thing right there, it says, donating time and abilities. Some of you are skilled laborers. I've already talked with some of you about the skills that you have to be able to build and do things. I don't have those skills. That's not my thing. I can take nuts and bolts apart and put them back together, but I'm amazed at the stuff that some of you are able to do when it comes to building and some of that kind of thing. Maybe your business even is in that. Maybe you've got an ability to donate something there, and that would be awesome. That'd be fantastic. And you can put that in there. Just be praying about all that. Be praying about all that. I want to read you this passage. I want to read you this passage out of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians verse 6. Chapter 9, verse 6. Chapter 9, verse 6 says this. It says, the point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly over compulsion. You hear that? Okay? Not reluctantly over compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make, he says, verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Verse 8 is telling us, don't worry about the money. Don't worry about it. God is sufficient, and He will provide for the things that we need. Now, will it always be the things that we want? No. It won't always be the things that we want. I'm still looking for my 67 Shelby. It's probably not going to happen. And that's okay. It's all right. It's all right. God wants us to trust in Him, that He will provide for us And in verse 7, well, go back to verse 6. We're seeing him talk in investment talk, you know? We're seeing him talk about an investment, sowing and reaping, you know? And you think about that. And if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly and all those kinds of things. And I think that it's this encouragement for us that we wouldn't put limitations on what we think we can do versus what God might lead us to do. Sometimes stepping out on faith is one of the hardest things that we could do. But let me tell you, folks, if God leads you to do something, I'm encouraging you, follow him. You follow him and you wait and see what he's going to do through it. This church is an example of that. The fact that we're sitting here, that we're in here together right now is a huge example of that. This church breaks every church planting rule that there is in a book. And my former church planting professor from seminary, who spoke here, said so. Said, this whole thing doesn't make sense, Chris. He said, I don't even know what you guys are doing here. He's like, it makes no sense to me. You know why? Because it's a God thing. It's not a book thing. Yeah, absolutely. And you see, what happens is if we're not careful, we go, well, that can't happen because it's not supposed to. Well, we just completely cut God out of the equation if that's what we say. And so I'm just encouraging you. Just pray. Just pray. Let the Lord lead you to whatever it is he's leading you to. Again, I'm not putting any percentages out there for you. I'm not telling you you got to give X, Y, or Z. You're going to be a bad or a good, you know, whatever. That's not what we do. I encourage you to follow the Lord. What's he leading you to do? Verse 7 says this. It says, and this is so important, I think, for us. This is checking our hearts. Each one must give as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Not under compulsion means this, that we wouldn't do it because we feel guilty. I'm going to tell you right now, even today, when the plate gets passed at the end of the service today, I want to tell you right now, if you're feeling guilty about giving, don't do it. Keep your money. Keep it. You need to spend some time with the Lord. And you need to converse with him and check. Let him check your heart and help you to see what's going on between you and him. God loves a cheerful giver. God doesn't need your money, but he knows that you need to not worship it and be so tight-handed with it. And he knows that I need to, too. He knows that for all of us. And again, that's why Jesus talked about it so very much. So, how do we know what to give? That's between you and the Lord. I think the main thing is that you got to check your heart that you're following him with whatever it is he's wanting you to do, and you're doing so cheerfully, and you're recognizing the investment that we're making. The investment is so huge. The investment is so huge. And it's sacrifice. But that's what God did for us. And if we're going to model him, then we're going to sacrifice. We're not just going to go, hey, what can we do without? We're going to sacrifice. We're going to say, you know what? What would God lead us to do in following after him? I think for us to recognize that this is something that we got to do together. It's not going to be like we got 10 people that they make a whole lot of money or something, and because of that, those 10 people are going to bankroll the whole deal. Let me tell you what, 24 Church has never worked that way, okay? I don't know if you've seen our budget compared to like the budgets of churches our size, but it is very small compared to churches our size. In fact, I know churches a lot smaller that have much bigger budgets. I don't say that complaining. I'm just saying, look what God's done, okay? He hadn't needed money to begin with. He doesn't need it now. But he knows that in our hearts, this will be good for us to be faithful, to search ourselves, and to follow him through this. So maybe sacrificing comes in different ways. Maybe sacrificing comes in like the, yeah, I'm gonna give this thing that means a lot to me. Or I'm yeah, we're going to give some money, you know, every week, every month, whatever it is, you know, and it's going to be hard for us, but we're going to do it. Maybe it's this. Maybe you look at it tangibly and you say, you know, we're going to do some stuff as a family. Like, how could we sacrifice as a family? And I'll say, well, we eat out 3 times a week. What if we only ate out 2 times a week? What if we only ate out 1 time a week? And we took that extra money and we gave that every week. And we put on the back of that card, again, only just to help you to kind of see the splash that you could make over the course of 18 months. But, you know, the whole, like, if we gave $12 a week, if we gave, you know, $50 a month, or, you know, whatever it is, you know, that you could see the impact that you're having in the investment for the kingdom. It's sacrificing. But if we do it together, I think that we're all going to be just, I think we're going to be amazed at what God's going to do. Because it's not about us having some people that have a whole bunch of money, because truth is, we don't have a bunch of people with a bunch of money. We don't. We've got a bunch of people like us who are out here fighting to make a buck, and it's a big deal for us to be sitting here talking about it. We all know it. It's not an easy thing for us to talk about sometimes, or even hear about, or whatever. If we're faithful, I believe that God's going to show out. I really do. Maybe you're planning on taking 3 vacations this year. Maybe you take 2. Maybe you were thinking about buying this fancy thing. And you're like, you know what? We go buy that fancy thing. Or we could wait 18 months and then go buy that fancy thing. You know? It's just different things that might help you to look at it. Here's one thing that we don't want to do. And I think this is a question that has to be asked. And so I want to ask it and then I'm going to answer it. A lot of people say, well, $250,000 is a lot of money. And we as a church, we already owe, about $1 million on this? $950,000. We owe about $950,000 on this piece of property. Which, by the way, this is an amazing piece of property. And we've got 4 acres that we're sitting on, which is pretty amazing. I've been talking the last few weeks about what's happening with Nashville, what's going to be happening here. I even had somebody tell me this week about the number of businesses that are already planned to move into Pleasant View that nobody knows about yet. I don't know how they know, but they know. And I don't know why they tell me, but they tell me. But just more proof of kind of what's happening and the opportunity that God keeps putting in front of us that we've got to be ready for. But part of that is, you know, if we already owe $950,000 on this and we're looking at doing something for $250,000, what are we thinking? What are we going to do? We're just going to go borrow more money? No, we're not. That's why we're talking about all this. You see, it would be a lot easier for us just to go borrow some money from a bank and just, you know, just pay for it. What we've said is, you know what? We as a church, we never talk about giving. We never talk about money. And it's hurting the spiritual well-being of a lot of people to not know how to give and to not be challenged with something like this. Let's pay cash for this thing. And that's why we're not breaking ground until we raise half the money. We want to pay for every bit of it with cash. And then when we're done, in 18 months, here's my prayer. I'll go ahead and tell you because I got nothing to hide. And you may or may not like it, but whatever. I'm going to tell you anyway. My prayer is this. My prayer is that after we as a group of people have been sacrificially giving over 18 months, that we would find it good for ourselves to not stop. And then after that, we begin paying this thing off. Yeah. Let me tell you what, folks. If we paid this thing off, the ministry that this church could do with the $9,000 a month that we pay on a mortgage payment right now, oh my gosh, what would that be like for this church? What would that be like for this community and for the kingdom? Do you see where the investment, like this, we're doing a little investment now, but it's getting bigger. And the investment's getting stronger for what we can do when it comes to doing damage for the kingdom of God. And that's what this is about. We don't want people to say, look at 24 Church and look at their buildings. We're not that deal. We don't want to be that deal, and we're not going to be that deal. We want people to say, look at those folks at 24 Church. They love Jesus. And because they love Jesus, they love me. That's what we're looking for. These are tools to find a means to do what we've been called to do. Don't make the mistake of seeing the investment in lumber and block. We are investing in the work of God as He has called us in His kingdom. The investment is eternal. If you don't think so, let me put it in perspective for you real quick, and we're going to close. Think about the people that are going to walk through those doors. Think about the people that are going to walk through those doors. Think about the people that have already walked through these doors. You know, if this church has ever meant anything to you, it's because other people invested before you got here. God wants to do something amazing. I'm sorry. It's overwhelming for me to think about what God may want to do with us as a people, not as buildings. I don't care about that. But I know we got to do that stuff so that we can do the other. I pray that you would search your heart for it. I pray that you would pray with me, taking these blocks, put them on your dash, put them by your mirror where you see them in the morning or whatever it is, that you too would pray for the people that we're going to minister to that we've never met that need Jesus. I want to see them come to know Christ. That's why we're here. We're not here for us. And I know we think that we are so many times, but we're not. God has called us to follow Him. All I know to do is be faithful. And I know that that's the hearts of so many of you. And I know so many of you have come to a place in your life where maybe you're burned out or whatever it may be. I want to encourage you, come back to the Lord and be faithful to Him, whatever He leads you to do. It's between you and Him. It's not between you and pastors of a church. It's not between you and commitment cards. It's just between you and Him. Be faithful to the Lord. And you may be sitting here this morning and you're like, golly, I just came and visited this church for the first time today and they're talking about money and buildings and the dude's up here freaking crying all over the place. Oh, I did not do that in the first service. I let myself think about it too long in this one, I guess. But I just want you to know that the most important thing that we want you to know is not anything about our buildings or our money. It's that Jesus loves you. And God sent Him to die for you so that you could have a second chance at what life is really about, and that's to glorify Him, to find that purpose and to find a Savior and be saved from sin, hell, the devil, and this world. God wants to give you life like you've never had it before through His Son, Jesus. Believe in Him. Believe in Him. Let's pray together.